All right, let's open our Bibles this evening. We're in the third chapter of 2 Corinthians. And again, just as the Lord so inspired this week in studying this, so thankful to Him and meant so much personally, again, His timing. It's impeccable. Never too early, never too late, just right on time. And how precious this is to the ministry that God has allowed me to be part of. It's His ministry. We all have a ministry, brothers and sisters. We truly do. I think sometimes we envision it a different way. But by the grace of God, as people of the Lord, we do have a ministry. Each one of us has a testimony. Now, God forbid, sometimes our testimony isn't what it should be. We're testifying of other things. But by the grace of God, that Spirit in us, what a testimony it can be. Praise His name. But beginning here in the first verse of chapter 3, it says, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you? Or letters of commendation from you?" And I appreciate this because I'm going to tell you a bottom line. We are approved and validated of God. You are approved and validated of God, not of men. And we're just so thankful that Brother Paul, he knew that he was an apostle in the first letter to the Corinthians. Again, as it said there, he was apostle called by the will of God. And then in the second Corinthians here, he is an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. It wasn't by a seminary. It wasn't by men and women throwing accolades at him or somebody that wanted to approve him for some way, shape, or form. It was of God and it was from God. Praise the Lord. Now we see here that, again, that Paul's will was of the Lord. It was God's will that was directing him. And you notice here it says, as some others. So obviously there were different ones that were in this Corinthian group that were thinking that they were approved because they had received some letters by so-and-so or such-and-such or maybe a university here or there. And I always appreciate Brother Hill saying, well, they'd ask him, well, where'd you go to seminary? And he said, well, I went to Brush College. And they'd look at him and they'd say, well, where is that Brush College seminary? He says, well, it's out there in the sticks. And if you really got to thinking about it, that's about the best place to be because that's where God will reveal Himself to you. And it will be something personal. It will be something that, again, we're talking of the spiritual realm. We're not talking of natural realm. I don't want anything of the natural realm when we're talking about the things of God. I know what man is about because I understand more and more about me naturally. We're dealing with God. And I want the things that are from very God of very God. They're going to be right. They're going to be exciting. They're going to be joyous. They're going to be lasting. And most importantly, they're going to be real. And they're going to be building. And praise God, that's the edification and exhortation that He brings into my life. So going on, verse 2, it says, "Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." This is so precious. He's talking about these Corinthians that he's been witnessing to for some years now. And he says, "Ye are our message." This is what this is saying here. It's written in our hearts. It's known and read of all men. Christ is working in you. Praise God, Christ is working in you, and that is the proof of our apostleship. That's the proof of the ministry. Over and over by the word of by the will of God, it's so wonderful when people are asking me, Brother Jesse, what can we do? And I appreciate the thoughts. You know, what could we give you? What could maybe you need something else? No more cakes or cookies is one thing. Amen. My poor pants, but never mind that. But it truly is the benefit of the Lord to my heart, and truly, I mean, it's just sincere before the Lord, is to see us grow up. As Brother Paul said, I'm not in any control of your faith. I just want to add to your joy. And you think about, you're running a race course, and by the grace of God, you're running it with joy. If you're running it at all, you're running it with joy. There's going to be heartache along the way. God tells us definitely in His Word, if you're going to reign with Me, you're going to suffer with Me. But praise God to see the joy of the Lord in that race. That's what the desire upon my heart is, that we run well. That we, and running well is running with joy. And Brother Paul knew that. That we had to see the consolation that was at the end of this race. That's the reward, the hope. Knowing that there is a high calling. Knowing that there is a reason for being a Christian. And I'm finding out really what the reason is. It's the love of God. Praise His name. How He loves us. What He's working in us. What He can bring us to. What He's brought us from. Praise His name. But again, the Lord working in these brothers and sisters in the church of Corinth, that was His recommendation. The proof is in the pudding. The proof is in, by the grace of God, the lives that Jesus Christ is alive and working in. And that is the grace of God. We'll read more about that, Lord willing, tonight. Verse 3. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us. Oh, now let's read that again. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us. Your fruit is what he's saying here was through us by the grace of God. The Lord used us as vessels to bring his love, to bring his word to you. By His grace, we need to be thankful for teachers and preachers and different ones that bring us the Word of God. We don't need to be caught up in what the vessel is. It's what's being poured through the vessel. And that's a huge thing. I appreciate that there are so many capable brothers and sisters in this meeting that the Lord allows to bring forth the Word of God. It's a mighty thing. And we need to be focused. This is God's plan. This is God's will. This is God's work. And he goes on to say here, it's written not with ink. This isn't about works. It's apart from man's hand coming in and touching this. We're talking God's very hand. I've told you many times, as a young kid, I was so appreciative of what the Lord showed me in an art class. There my art teacher was, and we were working with that clay, and there it was on the potter's wheel, and you know how it spins and spins and spins around. She'd take that lump of clay, and she could do it so well. She'd put it right on there, and she'd put her little hands in there and put some water in it, and then there that little vase would rise up just perfectly, absolutely perfectly. I'd see her do it every single time. Looks so easy. I'd get in there. I'd start, you know, trying to mess with it. Things go flying all over the place. She felt sorry for me. She took my little hands and she said, here, let's try it again, son. So here we go. And she had her hands with me and here we go. And she'd pull them away. And right when she'd pull them away, that stuff would just go flying back around. But I'm telling you, it really is such a wonderful, wonderful example or a type of when we try to touch something in our lives. When we try to make the work happen in our life. When we try to bring, in a sense, godly excitement in our life. We are His workmanship. We are His. Anything that we will try to bring to the altar or try to contribute to this, it's unacceptable. It's God's work in us. And praise the Lord for that. It makes it so easy. The simplicity that's in the gospel. It's right there for us. So it wasn't written. It was written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It's all spiritual. This is all by grace. By the grace of God, we do want to apply ourselves. We do want to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We understand that. But again, as we come forward and say, Lord, I'm willing to learn. I'm willing, by the grace of God, to come humbly before you to know that learning this, knowing this, allowing this by faith, and that's the only way it's ever going to work, is by faith. That's how the Word of God works effectually in us. But by faith, this working that happens in our life, then the beauty of the Lord begins to come out of our life. He goes on to say here, not in tables of stone. Listen to what the Word of God says over and over and over. The tables of stone is speaking of the law. It's speaking of those, and I will say, those great Ten Commandments. But your righteousness, your holiness, and you are righteous and holy as a child of God. If you're sitting here tonight, you are very righteous and you are very holy. and you will not become any more righteous or holy. You won't. And the reason is because if you're a child of God, you have received the Spirit of life in you. You have been given the incorruptible seed. Think of that. Incorruptible. Go look up the definition. It means never to be corrupted. It can't be. It's His life. He gave me His life. He came into my life when I accepted Him as Savior. And I died. Praise God for that. Problem is when I begin to wander, I'm just thinking I'm living again. No, it's not me, dummy. It's Christ liveth in me. It's Christ living in me. Praise God. And by the grace of God, it's Christ in me, the very hope of glory. The full mature Son of God. This is all coming together and Christ is bringing this to us. So again, it's not in the tables of stone. And it's not that that law was a bad thing. We understand that. Absolutely not. But it was something that could never perfect me. And it's something that could never perfect you. And thank God Jesus Christ fulfilled it for me. And Jesus Christ fulfilled it for you. Hallelujah. You see, He's done it. It's His life. It was His life, His perfect life that He lived for you, for me. And then He died upon that cross. And that blood that was shed was applied for me. Hallelujah. I entered in. I am the Son of God. I come boldly before the throne. There's no more veil between me and God. Hallelujah. I go within the veil. I go there every day. I'm there right now because He's called me to come. And I'm going to listen to God. I'm not going to listen to man. I'm not going to get in these different places and things where I think I go to God because I can go to this man and he's going to pray for me or this or that. I come boldly before the throne of grace because I'm accepted in the Beloved. The atonement has been made, and He's my Father. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? I get so excited about that. I was in a place a couple days back where people can seem to be so religious, and I felt, oh Lord, the oppression that are on these people's lives, going through all of this ceremony, all of these different things. I was down there in Santa Fe. What a beautiful place. But you know, there's such a gripping of just so many different religions down there. So many different, again, self-righteousnesses down there. That's what all that is. I don't want ceremony because the Bible tells me specifically I need to leave that. I've got Jesus. Praise God, He fulfilled it all. I don't need to keep days. You know that? By the grace of God, I don't need to keep the law because it's kept for me. Praise God. What a wonder, knowing how free we are in Him. I got to get it going. All right. So, but it's not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. This is the Spirit working in me. He's there. Praise God. I'm a child of God. He's come into my life. Now let Him work. That means let Him mature. Let Him grow up. Praise God. It's from the inside out. Again, how does most, in a sense, pulpits approach this? It's always from the outside in anymore, isn't it? See, if you'll do this, if you'll get your life organized, if you'll hang around happy people, you're going to be a happy person? No, you're going to be a sad person. You need to just allow yourself to rejoice with the joyous one. Amen. And He'll bring the joy into your life. And then He'll bring, by the grace of God, brothers and sisters, I really believe as we rejoice with Him, He'll bring brothers and sisters of like faith into your life. Then you'll be around the people that truly are happy in Jesus. Happy in Jesus. Praise God. All right. And such trust have we through Christ to God's Word. His confidence was in and through Christ. There was none other standing for Brother Paul except the standing in faith. And praise God, listen to these wondrous four verses. Paul's credentials. Those are the credentials I want to follow. Christ Jesus validates me. I was speaking with a sweet sister before church started, and I was thinking, how sweet that the Lord brought this my way this week. How He knows what chapter, what verse we need to be in. It's wonderful to know that I am nothing, but yet at the same time, by the grace of God, everything to Him. But when the devil starts to tell in me that I'm nothing, that's a different story. It's a different story. Christ Jesus validates me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He bought me with a price. He bought me with His own blood. I've entered into the very family of God. Hallelujah. I'm just, again, so safe. I'm so thankful, again, for the simplicity that's in the gospel, the very grace of God, the sweetness of knowing the Word of God. I think how straightforward the Word is here, how we read back in 1 Corinthians there, how it says in the Word, we're to follow Paul as he followed Christ. How much more clear does the Word of God have to be? And this was a brother that brought in truly such a wondrous, sure, it was the gospel of grace. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you, he started to uncover by the grace of God, the infinite grace of what I really can be and what the hope of glory is for my life. You talk about simplicity. Just grow up, son. Think of that seed that now I've planted in your life. Think about who you are in me. Praise God. Now grow up. Become the mature son of God. I want fellowship at the highest level with the bride. I'm rejoicing in that Jesus Christ wants me to become in every way the very fullness of God living in my life. Jesus Christ will not marry a baby. Jesus Christ is looking for that fully developed, mature saint that He will wed. And I believe it's very clear in this wondrous gospel that that is who truly has ravished His wondrous heart. All right, verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. Now, how precious it was on Sunday. It's by grace, son, check the self at the door and come on through. It's wondrous in a sense, and I will say in a sense, to be a self-sufficient person as long as it's in Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are self-sufficient in the Lord, and the Lord can bring you through these things. But it's not of you. You start relying on your mind. You start relying on your strength. You start relying on who you think you know. And I'm just going to tell you, you will fall from your own steadfastness. You will. You'll fall very quickly. And you know why? Because Jesus Christ loves you. He loves you so much that He will allow you to go ahead and fall. He wants to establish you. But the establishment that's going to happen in our lives, brothers and sisters, is of faith. It's of faith in Him. It's a faith in the Word of God. It's believing that His Word is everything that we need. It's His Word that is everything to us. It's the things that will pick me up, that will raise me up by grace of God. We'll get to, and it's hard to contain myself right now, but even in the very same image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Like I say, the grace of God is infinite. Just don't limit it in your life. That's the difference. It's there for everybody. All men to be saved and come to a full knowledge of this. It's so simple because it's there for everyone. But our sufficiency is of God. And that actually answered the question in chapter 2, verse 16, where it says, and who is sufficient for these things? That was chapter 2, verse 16 of this wondrous 2 Corinthians. This was what the question was. Who is sufficient for these things? Here's your answer. Our sufficiency is of God. All right? Do you have a need tonight? Yes, you do. I know you do. Because you're God's child. If you're not God's child, you have a great need tonight. You need to become God's child. So see, everybody's got a need. Isn't that wonderful? And you know what? It just so happens that God is sufficient for everyone. Every single one of them. By the grace of God, don't stay in that land of unbelief. Let the Lord break through this evening, whatever it may be, to understand that your sufficiency, your individual sufficiency, not just as a people of God, but as an individual before the throne. Praise God, He sees us that way, that He is my sufficiency. He'll take care of it. Jesus knows. And Jesus cares. And by the grace of God, that wonderful Spirit that entered my life, His very Spirit of the Lord, I am so thankful that I know this, and He has given me that privilege as a son of God. Hallelujah. All right, moving on. We're going to read now, how can you imagine? Jesus Christ is the grace of God. See, we talk about all these things that are the grace of God. The grace of God is the love of God alive and living and working in me. Yes, praise God, it is. But what is the love of God? It's His Son. What is the infinite grace of God? It's His Son. What's the undying love of God? It's His Son. It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So here we go. Verse 6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. Now, we know that, again, it's His sufficiency. Brother Paul goes back and says, any ability that we have is of Christ. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You'll find that there in Zechariah 4:6. And you'll notice here, ministers of the New Testament. Now, this New Testament is just basically what it's saying here is the covenant of grace. We're under the covenant of grace. Hallelujah. That's what we have entered. And that's what we have here. And that is Jesus Christ. And it says here, not of the letter. This isn't of the law, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. You cannot mix the two. Unfortunately, as Christians, so often, whether it was the Galatians, whether it was these Corinthians, certain ones of them, they tried to mix the two. Well, we'll go with the Lord, but we understand in order to get more favor of God, we've got to keep the Ten Commandments. Let's go to Romans. Here we go. Chapter 11, verse 6. Romans chapter 11. And verse 6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Well, wait a second, Brother Jesse. It says there in James that faith without works is dead. Well, if I have any type of testimony at all, any testimony at all, the working of the Lord is going to come through with the faith that He's establishing in my life. Amen? I want to be a testimony. See, unfortunately, so many of God's children don't have a testimony. They don't. Not of the things of God. And that's the only testimony there really is anyways. I want to be a testament, a testimony. And what is that New Testament we just read? The grace of God. That's the only testimony you'll ever have, is of the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. I grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's grace. It's grace alone. It's that free gift. It's that love of God that was shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. It's that I can even grow up into Him into all things. But it's all the grace of God. It's all His Son. It's Jesus Christ. I know we know this, but I hope it just ravishes our hearts this evening. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 3, verse 28. Let's read a little bit more about this. That's Romans chapter 3, verse 28. It says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, how much more clear does the Word of God have to be? Now, We don't just go out there willfully and sin that grace may abound. God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Isn't that wonderful? It comes through us by Jesus Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I found out that what my mother was saying all those years where she said, you know, son, it's not about do's and don'ts. You fall in love with Jesus Christ, He'll take care of the rest. And she was absolutely right. Christ in me does it. Christ in me growing really does it. Praise God. He convicts, not in a guilty sense, but in a sadness. That godly sorrow that when I do fail, it's, Lord, I know that You've forgiven me. You don't even remember it. But I'm so sorry that I hurt You, Lord. I want to have faith to believe You through these things. I want to have confidence in You that I don't have to go that way. That You have made that provision. You have made that provision for me. That You've defeated sin and death for me. Allow me to live that life. Allow me to trust You. By the grace of God, allow me to believe You. That it has been taken care of. And I don't need to be controlled by it. It doesn't need to reign in my life. As I was telling my wife today, I said, isn't it something how close words can be? You want to be a warrior? I want to be a warrior. Praise God, I want to be a chosen man of God. Hallelujah. Those were the warriors back there in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. You think how close the word warrior is to worrier. Well, I'll tell you. See, we can get off real quick. And I know that one. But see, I got Christ in me. And I know that the victory and that provision and that way of escape, it's already there. And amen, we just need to trust Him more. Hallelujah. See, I'm a parent too. Praise God. All right. So, there's one more I wanted to read here. Yeah, Romans 6:14. Let's go over there. I encourage you to listen back to Brother John Hill's study on Romans. It was such a wondrous time to have that rightfully divided. It was a sweet thing. If you take the time, it'll do you good. Okay, chapter 6, verse 14, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Huh? What do you think about that? I know, I see some heads drop. Oh, no, you don't know. No, you don't know that one. I know who does. I know who does. Hallelujah. And He says here that it shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. I am so thrilled with Jesus. I'm free. I'm just so free in Him. I don't have to worry. I don't have to wonder for when is my help coming. It's already there. And Lord, when I fall, You're always there. Just help me to look toward You. Oh, I appreciate Him. How He's been so faithful in my life. And I know He's been so faithful to yours. He's got you at a Bible study on a Wednesday night. Lord knows where we could be, huh? Amen. So praise God for this. And as we go on here, we're going to see some comparison and contrast in some of the things that the Lord brings out here again. So it says, for the letter, look at this, this is the law. The law killeth, going back to that sixth verse of the third chapter there. But the Spirit giveth life. And as we yield to the Spirit, we can even have abundant life. And that's what this time is about. And don't let the enemy steal the abundant life from you. No reason. There's nothing better. There is nothing better. And I can live that testimony, again, all by grace, than by yielding, than a life that's yielding to God. Nothing more exciting. Absolutely. Lord giveth, Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all things, brothers and sisters. Maybe some things were taken away from you and you're here tonight. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Maybe some things were added to you in your life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know why? Because it did the same result. You're here. Huh? Is it a perfect path or is it not? Come on. Got to believe Him for these things. That's what faith is. Oh, how could it be wrong then for you? How could it be bad for you? Can't be in Christ. You're right. You're finally getting it. I can't lose in Him. Absolutely not. He's the lover of my soul. He said He would not withhold anything good from me. He'll perfect that which concerns me. All things work together for good to them that love God. God help us. All right, verse 7. But if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones, that's basically this ministry of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration or the ministry of the Spirit be rather glorious? So here's our first contrast here. The ministry of death written and engraven in stones was glorious. Obviously, this is speaking again of the Ten Commandments, the law. It brought death because it exposed our inadequacy to ever fulfill the law. And I think of people, I have to tell you this, and it hurts my heart, that their whole life is spent trying to adhere to that law. You're caught up in a work when we're under the covenant of grace. And when you see the freedom and the fulfillment and that it was nailed to the cross, that law, for you, then God can fulfill these things in your life. And it's working towards your eternal weight of glory, as opposed to something that is the most reputable thing to God, because that trying to keep it of yourself is dirty self-righteousness. Filthy rags. Know your Bible. Hallelujah. So it's death versus life. Romans 8:2. Let's just go there real quick. We can quote this, but it's always wondrous to read. 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Praise God. It's His work. We are His workmanship. It is His blood that has cleansed me. All right. So again, verse 7, but if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses. Remember when he came down from the mount, the glory of the Lord was so great upon his face and all. He had to have the veil put on his face. Okay? They couldn't behold that. For the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. Now here's the second comparison contrast here. The law is a dimness of vision. There's a veil there. You can't see through it. But yet, praise God, the Spirit brings the light of glory. You read that in the 6th verse of the 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians, where it says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? Where is the knowledge of the glory of God? Again, this is the 4th chapter in the 6th verse of 2 Corinthians. It's in the face of Jesus Christ. It's not in a textbook. It's not at a seminary. And it's not in anything that I'm going to strive to do of myself. It's in one place and one place only. The glory of God is found in the face of my wondrous Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Seek His face. And hallelujah. This is His face. We're looking right into the very face of Jesus Christ when we look and read and believe the very Word of God. This is why people say, oh, I wish you could hear Him talk to me. Let me tell you something. He's talking to you all the time. It's the Scriptures. They're alive. This Word is alive and living. This is the very living Word of God. And it's alive. And praise God, it's not just to people. It's to you. It's yours. And it was a love letter and is a love letter written to you. So, we see that there's this dimness. Moses' even radiant face, it faded. He was able to take that veil off. Just as the law faded. But hallelujah, we're in an age of the exceeding riches of His grace. Hallelujah. And then we're even going to step into a time when, oh my, it's going to be the exceeding riches. But see, we're getting that right now. Hallelujah. And that wife that has made herself ready, she's understanding these things. So he says in the 8th verse, so how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? So see, this grace that we're under, it is far, 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 far more superior. It can't even be compared. We're going to read that. That the grace of God can't even be compared to these law, this Ten Commandment thing. Okay? And think of where, and I'll just say Christianity. Where does it always go back to? Oh, can you believe that that person, they couldn't even keep that one. I think she's broken 6 today. I always appreciated my dear Pastor Brother Hill. You're over the precipice, you got 10 links. Was I worried about 5? Nope. 1. 1 link breaking and you're done. Okay? See, that summed it up for me. I can't go through a day. My pastor. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Let's get down to business now. Come on. This is the grace of God we're talking about. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Do you have faith 100% of the day? Please don't answer. Really? Think about it. Now, aren't you thankful for the grace of God? Could you imagine somebody thinking that if I was caught in a sin, oh, I can separate myself from the love of God. If I was caught in a sin, I could go to hell, even as a child of the King. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If it was that, boy, would it, you know, I'll just say it like this. It would be such a crapshoot to heaven. I don't know how you'd ever have peace. But then when I was thinking that I could be separated from the love of God, I'd be in sin because it's not of faith. So do you see a legalist most of the time, anytime they start contemplating about losing their salvation, that's not of faith. Thank God for His grace. Amen? Amen. So see, thank the Lord that He keeps us. All right. Verse 9. Here's another one. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, how could condemnation be glory? Again, because the law was a glorious thing. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. But if condemnation be glory, I love how the Lord just brings this out. Much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. So this is condemnation versus justification. As Brother Copley said, the law hunts you down. And you know what? You're a sitting duck. Didn't even have to hunt you. It just done. It found you very quickly. All right? But hallelujah. And convicts. But the Spirit makes us free. Let's go back to Romans 8 again. And amazing what you can find in that 8th chapter of Romans. Could have just given us that and we'd still be just scratching our heads thinking, oh, the marvelous exceeding riches of His grace. All right, that's chapter 8. Now let's read verses 3 and 4. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. See, so the law wasn't weak, but the law through me is weak. It can't get it done. It fails because I can't keep it. See? It exposes all of my inadequacy, all of my sin. All right? So in what that law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, He became sin for me. And He knew no sin. But He became that sin upon that cross. Likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. Isn't that wonderful? See, sin was condemning me, but He condemned that sin. He said, oh no. Never going to lay the account of that sweet, my sweet brother. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Praise God. You're not going to put that on me. That the righteousness of the law, and the law is righteous, might be fulfilled in us. And there's only one way it could ever happen. Who walk not after the flesh. That means coming at it in this fleshly body to try to fulfill the law. That will not work. But here's what does work. The Spirit. The Spirit. Christ in me. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, hallelujah, the righteousness of God was fulfilled in me. Done. Finished. Praise His name. Verse 10. For even that which was made glorious, this is again speaking of the law, had no glory in this respect. And here's why. By reason of the glory that excelleth. Isn't that wonderful? For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remains is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness or boldness of speech. I love how Brother Paul was so bold. I'm free. He did it all. I'm just here to grow in His marvelous grace. He's going to do it. So again, we see here in the 10th verse that the law, praise God, compared to grace, it has no glory. That Christ is beyond in every way. And Christ's grace is beyond in every way. The law, in verse 11, has been done away with. It's done away. And yet we still try to pull it up and bring it out and drag it around and do this and that with it. And Nope. It's done away. Hallelujah. And much more glorious is what remains, and that is the very grace of God. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 24 through 26. Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 through 26. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Huh. I think it did real quick for me. How about you? I can't fulfill that, Lord. I need help. Huh? That we might be justified by faith. By faith. You're not justified by works. You're not justified by anything else but believing in Jesus Christ. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. You have faith in Jesus Christ? You're no longer under the law. If you do not have faith in Jesus Christ, you are under the law. And as we've been reading, you're done. You're hopeless. Because you could never keep it. You do not want to be judged by that law. I'll guarantee you that. Don't. But praise God that Jesus Christ and Christ in me, He's fulfilled that law in my life. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, but I heard somebody on the TV the other day just said, we're all children of God. No, we're not. You're a child of God by one thing and one thing only. And that's by faith in Jesus Christ. Don't let this... And it's not people. It's spiritual wickedness. It's the enemy at this time. And he's trying to get people in their minds to think, oh, well, it's okay. We can come at God all these different ways. Oh, no, you can't. There's but one way. Ye must be born again. That's it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's one mediator between God and man. And that's the Lord Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad you know Him? And yet we do worry. I mean warriors. right? All right. Oh, I'm again so thankful for him. So again, verse 12. Back in our text. Seeing then that we have such hope. Oh, it's such hope. It's exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think hope. Being just a little modest there. We use great boldness of speech. God's going to perform this work. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, they're blinded now, remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. There's so many people that continue to read the Old Testament, obviously speaking here greatly of the Jews even of today, that will go back and embrace this Torah. Praise God that there's something there, but it means nothing until the veil is taken away. Hallelujah, here it is. So the veil, the same veil untaken away there in the 14th verse, in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ, but even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. And that's the truth. See, if you don't see Christ and if you don't see that that is the Savior, that veil is there. The veil or the blindness, it's permanent to those who choose the law. If you're choosing the law, that veil is there. And you'll be without a vision. And without a vision, people perish. And we only grow in one way, and that's in grace. And you can see that vision can be impaired and is greatly impaired in many a Christian because they're like the Galatians. Who hath bewitched you? That you begun in the Spirit, now you're going to be made perfect by the flesh, by the works. I hear that in so many lives. Oh yes, I was saved by grace, but now unto perfection, I got to go back and keep something. Oh my. Who hath bewitched you? The very words of Paul. And I'm to follow Paul as he followed Christ. And there's only one way to God's best, and that's in the very liberty of the grace of God. Infinite grace, all the way into the very midst of His throne. We'll hurry along. Nevertheless, verse 16, when it, I love this because here's the hope that's in the Lord. The expectation of a turning heart. When it, or the heart, shall turn to the Lord, or turn to Christ, the veil shall be taken away. See, that's how simple it is. Just accept Christ as Savior. That veil's gone. Okay? And then the vision, hallelujah, as we continue on with Him, just grows brighter and sharper. We have the dove's eyes, but at the same time we have the eyes of the eagle. And just that perfect vision all the way. To the God's very best. Now, this is so precious here and so vital to this whole section. The Lord is that Spirit. Okay. This Spirit here, this is Christ Jesus. This is not speaking of the Holy Spirit here. Even reference in Brother Schofield here speaks of this as the Holy Spirit. This is not that. This is the Lord is that Spirit. This is Christ's very own Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, what? There is liberty. So here's another contrast. The Spirit of the Lord is liberty. You have it. All He's asking you to do is to embrace it, to believe it, that you are free. And whom He has made free is free indeed. We are not in bondage in Him. Now, I can go out and try to bind myself if I want to do that because I'm dragging that old law around, that old self-righteousness around, that old thing that I think that I've got to be able to keep something. There's something in me that makes me more acceptable to God because I'm living a certain way, just like my sweet brother prayed at the beginning of the service. It's not predicated upon me. I'm accepted. Period. I just want more faith by the grace of God to please Him. I do. I never worried about my mom and dad loving me. I'm thankful. I knew they loved me, no matter what my brothers and sisters said. I was the youngest. Never mind, I better stop that. Okay, but I never worried about them loving me because I knew they loved me. I knew they would love me no matter. And I mean no matter. But when I did wrong, I'm going to tell you, it hurt in here. It hurt. And it didn't hurt because I didn't think that they loved me anymore. It hurt because I knew how much they loved me. That's your Jesus to infinity. See how simple it is? Listening to a lady the other day, and I've heard it before too, still struggling with eternal security. She said, well, don't you think that God could give you a gift and then take it back? And I was even thinking of my own life. I can never think of a time I ever gave a gift and took it back. I don't want you to answer if you ever did that. I'll pray for you. But we're talking about God. You, like we're talking on Sunday, listen to yourself. Enough said. So now the Lord is the Spirit, in the 17th verse. And where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. Liberty as sons of God. Liberty of access to the throne. Liberty for the protection from sin. That doesn't mean that I've got a ticket to sin. It's not what that's getting at. I've got protection from sin. Hallelujah. But we all. Oh, what a wondrous verse. And isn't this precious how this brother, Christ in him, so loved, reaching out, truly, this is for today. So much for today. We all. Not just we, but all. How inclusive. See, there's no divisions in this love. It's the love of God. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. See, I don't have a veil there. I'm with Brother Paul. Hallelujah. It's all taken away. It's a glass and I can look right through it. It's transparent. Now someday, hallelujah, it's not just going to be a glass. My face is going to be made whole and I'm going to embrace the very face of Jesus. I'm going to kiss Him. What an embrace that's going to be. Hallelujah. But I still can see Him so vividly today. I can see through a glass. And I can see very clearly through glass. And hallelujah, as that vision continues to increase, I can really see through that glass. Hallelujah. It's transparent, the transparency of the Lord, even in everything we do. But in seeing that, when we look and behold the very glory of God in the face of Jesus, because that's where we read it, where it is, when you're doing that, you can't help but become like Him. Because you're looking into that. You're looking into that. And as we believe it, it effectually works in us. And we grow up into what? Changed is what it says here. So here's another wonderful contrast. We can be transformed, changed, versus stagnant. And look what the change is. It's from glory to glory to glory. Think of that, what we were rejoicing in Sunday. That last glory was something, wasn't it? Oh, I got that glory. Well, you know what? Let's go on to the next one, Lord. Forgetting those things which are behind. Have to forget them. Even the accolades. See, we're so good about forgetting. Oh, I want to forget the bad thing, huh? No, but I treasure it. God's laid that up for me, that victory. But I need another victory. And another victory and another victory, because this is God's plan, is to go from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now you think about this, and I'll just say this in closing, and this just gripped my heart, because this is really getting to be Romans 12:2 time, where it talks about, don't be conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I got to thinking about that renewing, and it's just like even change from glory to glory. When I accepted Jesus Christ into my life by His grace, and I said, Lord, come into my life. I believe that You're my Savior. I believe You died on the cross for me. He came in and I died. And I'm a new creation. I'm a new creature. I have the new man now. Hallelujah. Well, what needs to be changed then if it's perfect? And it is perfect. But it's a perfect baby. It's a perfect baby. That baby's perfect. Absolutely. But there's a glory in maturing. Babies are absolutely, absolutely beautiful. And as much as I loved my little baby sons, and I'm so thankful that I got to spend so much time with them, to hold them, love them, do all the things. And you can never get enough time in a lot of ways, you know what I'm saying? But to watch them become the glory of God's creation, there's nothing better. That now they can grow and not just talk back to Daddy. But they can converse with Dad. And they can love me, even with a mature love. And they can appreciate things. And then, that glory of God's creation, that they bless me. And I can appreciate them. And how much more? And this is that glory that He wants us to be changed from glory to glory to glory. Into nothing less than the same image. Don't doubt what He's doing. Don't say, oh, that's just too much. It's too good for me. Oh, it is too good for you. But in Him, it's exceeding abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think. And this is the very plan of God. Let's stand and be dismissed.